I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. You understand that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Happy Friday to you. DA, you can usually hear me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. So glad to be simulcast as well today on the CBS Sports Network as Jim gets inducted tonight into the Radio Hall of Fame. And because of this event, coming up in about 17 minutes from now, we will serenade his career, his amazing career, with some of the greatest moments in Jungle history. Notably, the hack-off. I know, that when you think of the Jungle in these 20-plus years of excellence, you think about some of the most memorable, scorching hot takes, insightful interviews in radio history. And you think of it also topped by the hack-off. We'll get to those moments coming up here at about 20 minutes past the hour. Coming up this hour also, John Parker Wilson, analyst for the Crimson Tide Radio Network and three-year starting quarterback for Alabama. He'll join us coming up in about 30 minutes from now to talk about Bama and LSU, the game of the weekend, perhaps the game of the century, at least this century, the latest century, this decade. Tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS. Next hour, Hugh Jackson's going to join us, former Raiders head coach, on what John Gruden has done to restore confidence and winning positive vibes to the Black Hole and the Raiders franchise. But let us start with Mitchell Trubisky, shall we? Because earlier this week, Mitchell Trubisky, who has been under fire, under siege by the Chicago fans and media, and national media as well, says he's got a solution. He's got a solution moving forward.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of people or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. And so, tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to what we know we're capable of doing.
This might be a place where you expect me to trash Mitchell Trubisky for being soft, unable to handle the criticism. But I'm not going to do that. Because I don't know if he's soft or not. I don't know how the criticism that surrounds you as a quarterback, as a franchise, might affect your mentality. I'm not sure. Maybe this is a good strategic move. My angle, my thought when I heard this quote was, where does Trubisky get his leadership tips from? Because every week it's something that's seemingly even sillier. I mean, 2 weeks ago it was, you know, this week I'm watching film of myself on the sideline. And what I've noticed is that I'm too locked in. I look kind of down. So I want to show that I've got big personality. I'm excited. I'm positive. I'm ready to go. It's almost as though Mitchell Trubisky gets his leadership ideas from like Dummy's Guide to Leadership. You know, it's almost as though he just came down from his treehouse after reading a comic book. It was like, yeah, all right, I got some leadership ideas that I'm going to throw out there. Like, I'm going to watch film of how I'm acting on the sideline. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I'm turning off the TVs in the facility. I got this leadership thing down. It kind of feels like Trubisky is in one of those body swap movies where he's like a 10-year-old and like a bolt of electricity might have hit him, a lightning bolt when he was at Chapel Hill, and immediately got swapped for an adult. Like, this is definitely a Disney movie where there's a kid playing a quarterback He's like, yeah, I got this. Yeah, I got this. We're going to turn off the TVs at the facility. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I'm going to watch film on my body language. Yeah, because I want to be fired up. That's what I want. I want these guys to know that I'm fired up. You know, it feels almost like Tom Hanks in Big. Like there's going to be a groupie that comes up to me. He's going to be all embarrassed. Yeah, I don't really know what to do with all that. Trubisky doesn't need to worry about turning off TVs or watching his body language on the sideline on film. He needs to be watching film on how the hell to get better. This is one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and you could make the argument he is the single worst quarterback in the NFL. The man has 5 touchdown passes this year. 5. In an NFL where you can essentially drop back to pass, close your eyes, and throw the football into the end zone every single play and at least draw 3 flags. Did you watch last night's Thursday night game? How many defensive penalties were there? Every time the Raiders did anything good, there's a flag. Sorry, stop celebrating. Interception? No, that's coming back. Incompletion? Coming back. Fourth down stop? That's coming back. You can't do anything without a flag. Anything. Trubisky has 5 touchdown passes in an offense that supposedly is more comfortable for him with an offensive mastermind at head coach. 5 touchdown passes. Do you realize that puts him at 33rd in the NFL? There's only 32 teams. He has fewer touchdown passes than Ryan Tannehill, who just got the job like 2 weeks ago. Less than Marcus Mariota, who lost the job 2 weeks ago. Less than Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, yes, got the job 3 weeks ago. He has less touchdowns than Andy Dalton, who just got benched on a winless Bengals team. He has less touchdowns than Case Keenum, again, benched by a terrible football team. This is how bad Trubisky is. He ranks 28th in yards passed, 33rd in touchdowns. He's in the ravine of quarterback rating. And here's the solutions. Well, you know what? I'm turning off the TVs here, and I'm going to be fired up on the sideline, and then you will see what I got. Look, here is the reality of the situation for the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky is unplayable. This is not easy. This is not, it's not me, it's not you, it's me. But Trubisky, you got to go. He's unplayable. You cannot convince me that Chase Daniel is not a better solution. And I realize that Chase Daniel didn't light the place on fire when he got in early with Trubisky's injury. But did you see this a couple of weeks ago, right before Halloween? There is a young 8-year-old Chicago sports fan at a Blackhawks game. He is asked by the reporter, in-house reporter, in-house host on the Jumbotron, are you going to dress up for Halloween? The 8-year-old says yes. She says, what are you going to go as? He says, Mitchell Trubisky. The kid got booed. 23,000 Blackhawks fans booed an 8-year-old in their town. A fellow Blackhawks fan. You can't start this guy. You can't play this guy. He's a mess. He's a puddle. He's a mental puddle. He is terrible. And if he wasn't the second overall pick a couple of years ago by this administration, he would not be playing right now. They are barking up the wrong tree, and they will continue to lose games. Did you see that first half last week? 6 yards at halftime? 6 yards? 6 yards. That's almost as many interceptions as Phillip Rivers had last night. That many yards at halftime. The problem is that Trubisky was totally unprepared to come from 1 year starting at UNC, one really good season for UNC football, and transition immediately to being a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's also not ready to go into a football-mad big market like Chicago, where there's always been huge scrutiny on the quarterback because they haven't been able to solve that in forever. And he was ill-prepared to go to a playoff-caliber team and have to pull his weight. And he's just not mature enough right now to figure out how to get this thing done. He's lost. He's lost. Every week is something dumber. It's like next week after another loss where he throws three interceptions and no touchdowns, he's going to say, my key is I went to the mall and I got one of those waterfalls that are supposed to just calm us. Those little rock waterfalls, I'm going to plug it in to the socket in the meeting room and we're going to hear the white noise of the water and I think we'll be fine. I'm throwing a pizza party for everybody. I got a bunch of pizzas coming in, taking everybody to Chuck E. Cheese. It's going to be awesome. Just get our heads out of the sand here, pick us up a little bit. All these solutions feel like they were just like plucked from some silly hand guide written by a 12-year-old. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network has reported that Deion Sanders is being considered in the mix for the Florida State head coaching job. Oh, well, I'm sure this will end perfectly fine. I'm sure this will be just peachy. Deion Sanders' coaching resume, I believe, starts and ends with the Prime Academy, I think, which is a fake school. I'm pretty sure that's where his coaching starts and ends. So just so you know, the guy to drag Florida State out of the morass would be Deion Sanders. Deion, a guy that's really never coached before and is really just kind of a television analyst and has really no experience recruiting, but he's the guy. Let me tell you this. I hope Florida State hires Deion. I really do. I hope that Deion looks at Herm Edwards and like, I could do that. I could do it. He was an announcer. I'm an announcer. He wants to play to the NFL. I want to play to the NFL. He's winning at Arizona State. I can win at Florida State. I can do this. I want this to happen. I want this to happen. Because I'll tell you, Deion will make Willie Taggart look like Vince Lombardi. Noles fans will be like, oh my God, Willie Taggart. Remember? We called him the hoodie. He never wore a hood. He reminded me of Belichick. We were on the right track, and then Deion got the job. And what would Clemson and Dabo do to a Deion-coached Florida State team? I'd like to know that. I would love to see Deion's game management. I would love to see him recruiting 340 days a year. I would love to see it. I got to see this. I want to see this. I want Florida State to do this. Deion Sanders on the sideline, coaching against Wake Forest, Saturday at noon on the ACC network. I need to see it. I got to see it. I want to see Deion on the sideline as Florida State prepares for Liberty in week two on ESPN Plus. I want to see what the game plan is. I got to see it. I need to see it. Please, let's make this happen. Dell celebrates your small business this season with a Black Friday sneak peek. Our biggest Black Friday event ever starts right now. Save up to 45% on Windows 10 computers with Intel Core processors before Windows 7 support ends January 14th, 2020. Save on servers, plus a huge selection of the latest electronics, all with free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business technology advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Jim gets into the Hall of Fame tonight, and that's why we're playing some of his greatest clips ever, including the Hack Off. DA in for Jim today here on CBS Sports Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Damon Amendolara, DA in for Jim. You can usually hear me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. Jim getting inducted into the Hall of Fame later tonight, which is a huge deal, obviously, well-deserved. We were talking about Michael Jordan's six rings. Mike tweets, six is greater than five, DA, but it's still afraid of seven because seven, eight, nine. Mike in Toledo tweets, I got bent out of shape in a November game. Signed, Joe Theismann's leg. Ken in San Antonio tweets, Damon, I agree with you on Kawhi. Games in November really don't shape your legacy. Sincerely, Clayton Kershaw. Keep them coming, DA on CBS. So today, Jim and the entire flight deck are at the Radio Hall of Fame, getting ready for tonight's ceremony at the Gotham Hall, where there's going to be some pretty notable people inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. How about Jim Rome getting inducted alongside Ryan Seacrest, John Tesh, and Dr. Ruth? Those are three massive pop culture celebrity people that have had hugely long, successful careers. This is a stacked class. This is kind of reminiscent of the original Cooperstown class. You know, Babe, Ty Cobb, Christy Mathewson, all get in. Rome, Seacrest, Tesh, Dr. Ruth. It's a huge class. And Jim really does have his fingerprints on the entire industry. I mean, let's really think about this. Jim became the first nationally prevalent talk show host. There were local guys in a lot of markets that had brands. He took it to a national level and became the brand. The original national sports talk brand. Everybody has a hot take these days, right? Everybody has a hot take. I mean, it's even a slogan for television networks. Jim created Have a Take, Don't Suck. Jim built a brand on having aggressive opinions, which back then didn't even really have a phrase like hot take. Jim also made callers stars. And that's a pretty significant part of his resume and his legacy. I mean, think about some of the national radio shows, national sports talk radio shows. Today, forget taking calls. They don't even have a phone number. Think about some of the other sports radio stations or networks or shows you watch. They don't even give out a phone number, let alone want to hear from you. They don't want to hear from you. Jim has built callers into brands themselves. I mean, JT the Brick and the Cavillination launched sports talk careers because they were callers to Jim. Jim Smackoff has built celebrities out of listeners, out of callers. These are all things that did not exist or only exist and happened because of the power of Jim's brand. The show within the show. This is a distinctly jungle thing that there's all these inner workings between the crew, the staff, the listeners, the callers, behind the scenes. The callers have lives. The callers have shows. The callers have rivalries. This really didn't exist before Jim did it. There is so much that happens in today's sports talk world that is because of the Jim Rome show that tonight is long overdue. Long overdue. And it is an honor today to fill in on the day that Jim gets into the Hall of Fame. I'll also say that Jim has provided us, all of us, and I began listening to Jim really in about 02, 03. I was working in Kansas City at Sports Radio 610, and we were a Jim affiliate, and he did our midday show, and I hosted nights and then eventually mornings and would listen to him religiously. And the greatest compliment I can give Jim is that the show I heard in 02 is the show I hear in 2019. And I say that as a compliment because this is hard. It's hard because you have up days, you have down days. Things go well, things don't go well. Guests come through, guests don't come through. Good day in sports, bad day in sports. And it is impossible. I am telling you, impossible to be that consistent. It is humanly impossible to be that consistent over 20 years of work. It is impossible. It is impossible not to slip up. It is impossible not to have a mistake. It is impossible to sound the same every day for that long. It is inhuman. It is a discipline that Jim has that is incredible. I am constantly in awe of how can he sound that good every day for 20 years? It's like Brady. I'm waiting for him to fall off the cliff, Tom Brady. When is this going to happen? It's like Jim every single day. I'm like, how the hell does he keep doing it like this? At this level, every day, 20 years? Nobody does it. Nobody's ever done it. Nobody will ever do it. And there has been some really incredible radio along the way. I mean, the radio itself. I mean, let's just think about the things that he has gifted us as listeners. As I mentioned, the smack off, incredibly insightful interviews, sharp on-point takes that make you think. Jolene in 2011.
Jolene in Farmington. What's up, girlfriend?
How you doing, Rome?
Good, Jolene. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I know everybody's been anticipating my call.
Hell yes, they are. What do you got for them?
All kinds of BS.
Hey, join anytime you want to start's fine. Let it rip.
What I got to say for Fabian is he's a German Shepherd rescue mix. And there's nothing more than sadder than one man hockey sacking by himself. Oh, yeah, I guess there is. Ish. Hey, what up, Ish? I'm going down. I'm going to take all y'all down like Meta World Peace, baby. You can't come back from me. Hey, war, child, please. Kiss a baby. Meta World Peace, baby. This call is the biggest thing since the Prince William and Kate Middleton's wedding, and the world's going to stop rotating when I sit in the room with Jim Rome and co-host the show. Hey, just for future reference, I like my coffee black. That's for you, Ish.
Jolene, are you still there?
I'm out, Bo.
The legacy of the show speaks for itself. I mean, these are the moments that get you inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. Again, sharp, insightful takes, hugely popular events, national recognition, and Matt in Cleveland.
What's going on?
What's up?
First of all, being a star linebacker in Canada, that just means you're a failed hockey player. Christy Alley, Val Kilmer, global warming.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
These are the moments you think about. The hack-offs. These are the moments. And who can forget? Perhaps the most emotional, the most sensitive, the most intense phone call we have ever heard in sports talk radio from a caller. Who can forget the Larry Brown call from Toby in Houston?
I used to live in San Antonio, and actually when Larry Brown was there, I was out at a workout club finishing my workout, just got out of the shower, tying up my shoes. And guy comes up to the locker next to me, opens up the door, foot away from my face, drops his towel. I look over there.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Yeah, not today. Not today. Not on Jim's induction day. We don't get the final sentence. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, hit me up, DA on CBS. Really cool. In all seriousness, Jim said something when I was listening about 15 years ago that I've always remembered. On the radio, he said, look, my job is to take a topic, pick it up like it's a box, turn it around, and look at it from all different sides. I said, that is one of the most salient things I've ever heard a sports talk radio host say. I've never forgotten it. It is why he is the GOAT. He's the greatest ever to do this. It is why he's going to the Hall of Fame tonight. When we come back here on the show, John Parker Wilson's going to join us. Analyst from the Crimson Tide Radio Network and 3-year starting quarterback of Alabama. Bama, LSU, tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern kick. We'll talk to John Parker Wilson about it coming up here next. Is LSU just flat out the better football team? DA in for Jim today here on CBS Sports Radio. Jay Berman has your headlines. Dell's Black Friday sneak peek deals fit your busy work schedule. Save now on computers with Intel Core processors plus free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can help you find the right tech. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/business deals. Damon Amendolara, DA in for Jim today. Jim being inducted tonight into the Radio Hall of Fame. Last time I visited the jungle was during the smack off. Let's go check in on my call.
Jim actually uses you as a write-off every April. You qualify for our company's green initiative. It's the only reason you keep getting on the air. CBS Sports Radio files you under our community endeavors department.
That's right. So, yeah, my smack off call against Matt in LA. Still going on. Yep. Still going on. Just timing it out right now into hour number two. Tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS. The big one, LSU and Alabama. Right now, ranked 2 and 3 in the college football playoff rankings. Our next guest was a 3-year starting quarterback for Alabama, now a member of the Crimson Tide Radio Network as their analyst. Joining us, John Parker Wilson. John, good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I guess good afternoon to you. Thanks so much for joining us, man. And this one's a big one. Let me ask you about the college football playoff rankings. Did these two teams being 2 and 3 surprise you in any way?
You know, not really. I think Ohio State's playing really good ball. But, you know, right now, where they're at, and especially Alabama, you know, they don't have quite the schedule that LSU does. So this big game this week is going to settle everything. And I think Coach Saban even said that in his press conferences. Like, you know, right now where we're at in the season with 4 games left in the regular season, really doesn't matter about the rankings. And nobody more than him was excited to see Alabama at number 3 and not number 1, because he'll use that this week and really for the rest of the season about motivating the guys and just not letting them get complacent as they've had a pretty good run so far this season.
Right, because this game could be an eliminator for the college football playoff. It might not be. There might be a way in for Bama or LSU with one loss in there as a 4th team. But do you think that's realistic? Do you think that this is an elimination game for the college football playoff?
Yeah, I really think it is. You know, you definitely don't want to go lose this game and then not have a chance to play in your conference championship. So I think that's going to be huge throughout the rest of the season and kind of the trend that we've had of letting those conference champions go in. If you don't play it, it's going to be tough, I think, in the long run to get that team in. You know, last year we saw Georgia barely lose to Alabama, and they still didn't get in with one loss. So winning the games matters. And, you know, even though both of these teams are 2 and 3, there's a lot on the line. This goes to the conference championship. And really, what's become a huge rivalry from Alabama, this LSU game at the end of the season really dictates a lot. So it's a big game on both sides.
John Parker Wilson joins us from the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Is there any way, even a 5% chance, that Tua does not play tomorrow?
I don't think so. I think he's going to play. Seen around, there's been videos floating around of him on the internet. He looks good to me. He's had this injury before. I think that's the biggest thing for him is he knows how his body is supposed to react. He had it last year on his back foot. This year it's on his front right foot, where it's not as load-bearing for a quarterback as it is that back plant foot. So for him, he's been there and knows what he needs to feel going out on the field. And I think having that confidence of being gone through this same procedure just a year ago is going to allow him to go out there and play, even though he's not going to be 100%. Let's be honest. Even though he's not going to be 100%, but really nobody in the country is 100% at this time of season. I mean, 8 games in the season, a lot of guys are banged up. But this unique procedure they're doing is making the guys better once they get back on the field.
It's a pick your poison for LSU's defense because they do not do well crashing the backfield and getting sacks unless they blitz. But if they blitz, Tua has the ability to obviously kill them deep, especially the four amazing Alabama wide receivers. What do you think the key is for LSU's defense? Do they have to blitz to get to Tua, or do they have to sit back to not get killed deep?
You know, I think that's been the tough thing for defensive coordinators to try to figure out is that combo. And I think the hardest thing for them is if you do bring an extra guy, the Alabama receivers are so deep that now you've got a nickel or a safety guy on what is realistically a number one receiver. I mean, Jalen Waddle is kind of touted as a fourth guy, but he can go out there and make plays. So when you bring up and you give an extra guy trying to get pressure, you better get back there and make Alabama throw it quick. Because if we pick it up, Tua is really good at picking defenses up. He's really good at reading coverages and feeling the pocket and where to move. I think that's one of his strengths is knowing defenses and being able to feel different things. For me, if you're going to be successful against Alabama, you've got to get up and you've got to press the guys and you've got to disrupt the timing, especially in the short passing games.
John Parker Wilson from the Crimson Tide Radio Network joins us today here on the Jim Rome Show. Looking ahead to tomorrow's big one, Alabama and LSU. When we look at Alabama's defense, it's not as stout. It's not as legendary as previous Nick Saban defenses. They rank 16th overall in total defense, 33rd against the run, 35th in first downs given up. What has been different about this year's Bama defense than in previous years?
So Alabama has dealt a pretty tough blow the week of the opener, and starting middle linebacker Dylan Moses tore his knee up and lost him for the season. So in comes two true freshman linebackers for a Nick Saban defense that he has publicly said, we want these guys to have experience before we make them go out on the seed. So Christian Harris and Shane Lee, two guys playing on the middle of the defense. There were some growing pains early. Guys learning and getting just the speed of the game and the complexity of Coach Saban's our defense and just figuring those things out. But ever since 3 games ago we played Texas A&M, I think the team really turned the corner where these guys aren't thinking about the plays and the checks and the different adjustments to offense. They're just reacting now. And Christian Harris, over the past 2 games, has led the team in tackles where he has made the most improvement, in my opinion, on getting the defense where it has been in the past. And they have definitely made strides with him. And Terrell Lewis off the edge, pass rusher, is really kind of hitting their stride right now.
Alabama defense has given up just 20 total points against Tennessee and Arkansas in their last 2 games. But LSU's offense is totally different than those. And they've got the best quarterback of the game right now in Joe Burrow and an explosive offense that Joe Brady has brought into the LSU system. So when you look at this matchup, do you think that LSU's offense can just simply outscore Bama's offense because they're so good right now? Or do you expect this to be a game played in maybe the 20s or even low 30s?
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to be, the high 20s, low 30s, where, you know, both these teams are averaging 48, 49 points a game. I think when you've got two good defenses like Alabama and LSU does, but with offense like Joe Burrow's got, they're going to score points. They've got really good receivers, and we say Alabama's deep at their receiving core. Well, LSU is just as deep, and they've got a lot of good players too. I think it's going to come down to the being able to pressure Joe Burrow and the play of our – we're going to be in dime package a lot. There's going to be a lot of times we've got four down linemen, one linebacker, the rest are going to be DBs. So how deep, 6 DBs, that's asking a lot. And how good is you're going to hear Shaheen Carter come down at nickel. You're going to hear Roddy McKinney, the safety, come down at nickel. So how good can they match up against LSU's tough receiving core? That's going to be the matchup to look for on Saturday.
Former Tide quarterback John Parker Wilson is our guest talking about Bama and LSU tomorrow. How much of a factor is Tuscaloosa? I mean, Nick Saban never loses at home in Tuscaloosa. What type of factor is that tomorrow?
I think it's going to be big. I think with all the attention of the game, game day is going to be there. President Trump's going to be there. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be there, not even for the game. And then I love his late season game, 2:30 CBS kick, where it starts out in the day, and then with our central time zone, we're so close to the Eastern time zone, it's going to get dark early. So Brighton and his stadium's got these new LED lights we've seen over the country throughout some different venues, but they're going to be rocking. Those things come on. We've had a couple night games this year, and it's just a different feel this year. And especially with the Bama fans, they feel and know how big of a deal Death Valley is down in LSU. So we want to show that how tough Bryant Denny is to play. And it's just the game of the century was a few years ago, the 2011 9-6 game. I don't think it's going to be like this, but it's going to be just as big.
Well, we're going to have a lot more points than 9-6. It'll probably be 9-6 after three drives tomorrow, which is great. Yeah. You know, just looking at what Joe Burrow has been able to do, what are you seeing in terms of a mastery of that offense that a quarterback is operating at with Burrow?
He's super efficient, spreads the ball around to a lot of different guys. He's an accurate passer. He moves really well in the pocket, and he does all that. But I think the biggest thing for LSU and their offense is confidence. But, you know, LSU's always had athletes. They've always had good DBs and talented receivers. But this year, what Joe Burrow and Joe Brady are doing is they're expecting to score on every single drive. They go out there, and they're expecting to get a touchdown and a PAT. And if they don't, it's like, what, you know, something wrong happened. So the confidence that they're playing with is something we really hadn't seen from an LSU offense in recent memory. So if you're Alabama, you got to go out there and try to pressure them, get to them early, and just make them uncomfortable because, quite honestly, Joe has not been that uncomfortable this season.
John Parker Wilson joining us, 3-year starting quarterback with the Tide, member of the Crimson Tide Radio Network, getting set for tomorrow's call. 3:30 Eastern kick, 2:30 Central on CBS television. John, man, good to catch up. Enjoy the game tomorrow. I can't wait.
Thank you so much. It's going to be fun.
You got it. John Parker Wilson joining us this morning, this afternoon, depending on where you are, here on CBS Sports Radio. I think LSU is the better football team, but the Tuscaloosa factor is a big worry. Nick Saban is just a witch at home throughout his tenure at Alabama. He's got 4 losses all time, I believe, as a head coach in the regular season at home. 4. It's been there a long time. 4. It is historically difficult to beat Alabama where they play. Now, a lot of that has to do with how many times they've had more talent than the other team, how many times Alabama has played at home as a number one or number two team of the country that simply just was not as good, or the opponent was not as good as them. I think LSU is the better football team. Top to bottom on a neutral field, I would take LSU. But this one being played at Alabama definitely does even the playing field. And tomorrow's game comes down to Ed Orgeron. In many ways, it comes down to Ed Orgeron. He walks in with a better football team than Alabama. That's not often we can say that about anybody. But he walks in with a better football team, a quarterback playing at a higher level than Tua. Tua not 100%. And everything on the line to be the best team in college football and try to win a national championship. And he's got to out-coach, out-maneuver the greatest college football coach ever. He's got to do it on the road. And I imagine Joe Burrow's going to be just fine tomorrow because this Alabama defense isn't great. And I imagine Joe Burrow's going to pass for a lot of yards and score a lot of points. But is there going to be a flip moment where Saban pulls a rabbit out of the hat? There's a mistaken time decision by Orgeron. There's a mistaken coverage, a bad scheme. Is there going to be a bad moment where you just say, oh, LSU's not ready for this. That's what I wonder about tomorrow. I don't worry about the Tigers' talent tomorrow. They've got just as much talent, if not more, than Alabama. And they've got a quarterback playing at the highest level of anybody in college football. But Saban's been in this spot a million times, and Orgeron has not. And Orgeron has been bypassed for job after job after job until finally LSU said, okay, fine, you can have the gig. This is Orgeron's moment. And because Ed Orgeron seems to have little ego, and because Ed Orgeron seems to be your guy's guy, it would be tough for him. It would be tough to see him get clowned tomorrow in this spot. because it's all on the line for him. But this really does come down to this coaching matchup. Staff, scheme, head coaches. When we come back on the show, Baker Mayfield getting clowned all week long. Does he deserve it? Plus, what's going on with the Thursday night football set? DA in for Jim today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.